I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's much to learn about faith, about what we are, about how God deals with us, leads us, uses us, how our faith develops and grows. We're born again like babies, as newborn babes, the scripture says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so you never want to get to the idea that, you know, well, I've about arrived here. No, you haven't. Most people are a lot more immature than they imagine they are. They're a lot more babyish spiritually. I mean, you can be 75 years old and be an absolute infant spiritually. I'm not talking about mentally. I mean, you might have multiple degrees. People think you're a genius mentally, and yet be a baby spiritually. And, you know, billions are spent on the development of the mind. Billions are spent on the body and sports and that kind of thing, but the spirit's largely ignored by most groups and most people, and that's the most important part of us because that's the eternal part of us. And so what we're doing in faith school is, what's our first thing we confess? First off, I'm feeding what? Yes. Not my body. This is not the cafeteria. We're not eating hot dogs and hamburgers, and this is not a university that we're just hearing lectures about knowledge, not our mind. We're feeding our spirit with spirit food. Hallelujah. Tell me, where can you get some spirit food? And the prophet said, come and get it without money, without price. Come freely drink, freely eat. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad the Lord made it for free? Hallelujah. Well, actually, Jesus paid for it. But thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity. Lord, we agree together in prayer today, touching these things. Add to us more knowledge of the holy, understanding. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We ask for the utterance and the quickening of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been on the series now that we're calling Faith for Provision for a number of weeks, and we're going one by one through 30 biblical reasons from Scripture, why we are sure. Everybody say sure.
Sure.
You'll notice oftentimes in the New Testament says, we know. We know. We're confident. We know. And that's faith language. Because the opposite of that is, well, I hope so, we think so, could be. That means maybe so, maybe not. That's what wavering is. Wavering. And James warns us, if you waver, you won't receive anything of the Lord. You gotta get it settled. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, how can I get it settled? It is written, it is settled. You agree?
Yes.
If God said it, that's the way it is. Now, you can accept it or not, but if you'll accept it, then that's when you get it settled. And so, one by one, we're going through what we can see in the Word. That's settled. Number one was, the Lord is a good shepherd, and He's my good shepherd. That's settled. You agree or not?
Yes.
Is He a good shepherd or a bad shepherd?
Yes.
He cares or He doesn't care?
Yes.
Huh? He look after you, take care of you,
yes.
Let you starve to death, don't care. Whatever. He's a good shepherd, and because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not want. for any good thing. And so that was reason number one. And we've been going through one by one in our giving of 30 of these reasons. So we went through number two, goodness of God. Three, fatherhood of God. Four, creation of God. Five, God's will in heaven. Six, the God of Abraham. Seven, we're the seed of Abraham. Eight, the blessing of tithing. Nine, honor and riches. 10, wisdom and wealth. And if you weren't with us, go online, faithschool.org. Actually, we have a number of other languages besides English. And so if you or your friends or family speak another language, it could be there. Take advantage of it. No charge, no cost. We don't require you to commit to anything or sign up anything. It's just all available there. Our partners have made it available to you at no charge. So we got down to number 10, and then our one this week is number 11. Go with me again to Ephesians 4. This is our 11th reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I'd like to hear you say that, class. Say it out loud, abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
No, excuse me, back up. Say,
I am sure
abundant provision is always God's will
for us all.
Amen. Always. Abundant provision. In Ephesians 4 and 32, and I'm reading in the Amplified. Ephesians 4:32 says, become one to another kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another according as also God in Christ did forgive you. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God, copy Him, and follow His example, as well-beloved children imitate their Father. And He goes on to say, and walk in love, as Christ has loved us and gave Himself for us. The New Living says it like this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. It's just the most natural thing for children to act like their parents. I've sometimes gone back home where I grew up and maybe hadn't seen people for years and years, and I see somebody, some of my kinfolks, relatives, neighbors, and they go, man, you're so much like your daddy, you know? And you do this like him. And you say, well, I get it naturally, yeah. Right? That's from the time I was in diapers. That's what I saw. That's what I heard. And the same thing spiritually. I've had people say the same thing about my spiritual father. And they say, well, you act like him about that, or you say like him. Well, that shouldn't be a shock. Right? Well, who is Big Daddy? Come on, help me out. I mean, Big Daddy is God. Woo, the Almighty, the Creator. Is He really your Father?
Yes.
I'm looking. I want to see a hand raised. Is He really? How many would say God is my Father? That's what the Scripture said in Romans 8, that His Spirit is in us and causes us to say, Abba, Father. Well, Abba would be like Dada, Daddy, Dada. Well, He told us, so we don't have to guess about it, think about it. He said, act like me. Now, that seems at first here like too tall of an order, right? Act like God? Because for millennia, the devil has fought this. Oh, he has suppressed this. If you begin to go, well, maybe I'll just speak to this like Jesus did. The devil will go, who do you think you are? You worm of a this. You that, how dare you think? That is the devil. Be on the watch for that kind of resistance coming from him. Look at the Scripture. Go back to the scripture when the disciples were in the boat crossing the lake. Jesus told them to do it, and they got in one of the biggest storms they'd ever been in. And they look, and there's somebody out there. And it was Jesus walking on the waves. And they cried out. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter said, if that's you, tell me to come out there. Well, that's pretty big talk. Is that right? If that's you. And Jesus said, Peter, how dare you think that you, failure of a mortal man that you are, that you could come out here and walk on the water like the Son of God? You better sit down in the boat, boy. Now you're laughing, but this is modern theology. Huh? This is modern theology everywhere you look. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Do you know that's what they said to Jesus? Huh? That was his biggest thing. They said, who does think he is? He said God was his father. Can you believe that? And the things he was doing, he said, look, I just do what I see my father do. I just say what I hear him say. Is he imitating God?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
As a dear child. And did he do it perfectly?
Yes.
And that's as the result, we had all these miracles. Is that right?
Yes.
All these healings and deliverances. And glory to God. Well, what about you? What about me? Are we just supposed to read this and ooh and ah and go, man, wish I'd lived back there and could have seen some of this, you know? But if the thought ever dawns on your mind to go, well, why don't you act like that? I'm telling you, 12 demons will rush you and go, oh, don't you dare, don't you dare, don't you dare. Well, what are they scared of? Why would they jump you like that? Why would they, and why do they inspire confused preachers to preach against it? And theologians to teach against it and come down and come down. What are they afraid of? Who's afraid that somebody's going to act like Jesus? Who's afraid of that? The enemy. The enemy. God himself said, imitate me. Mimic me. Are y'all getting happy about this?
Yes.
Be imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. He's a giver.
Yes.
He doesn't live cheap.
No.
He lives good.
Yes.
He lives large,
yes.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
He lives big. Hallelujah. And he has such resources to help other people. What'd be wrong with me, with you, believing to have big resources that we could do big things with the gospel and we could reach people that are hurting, feed people, help people, clothe? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? How do I help the poor by being poor? And how am I acting like God being broke? That's not God. He said, imitate me. Be imitators of God. Copy him. Follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Let me go over a couple of other areas. This is not a one-time thing that he said in Scripture. In 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1 and 14. Now, this requires mind renewal. Because most people that have been in church, especially if you grew up in church, around church, a lot of your life, you've been taught against this. You know, you've been taught to be quiet and sit down and be ashamed. That's right. The man's religion teaches condemnation and shame and suffering. And that is not the gospel. That is not good news. That's not what God did for us. And like we were saying, when Peter and the guys are in the boat, and Jesus is coming walking on the water, and Peter says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And what did Jesus say?
Come.
Come on. Does that say volumes?
Yes.
Huh? He's not saying, no, Peter, you're not in my category. You're not on my level. Well, obviously, Peter wasn't walking in the level of faith and revelation that the Master was, but does the Lord want him to stay where he is, or does he want him to, come on up? Come on up higher. Did he say, come on. Come on out here with me. Yes, you can do what I'm doing. Woo. Glory to God. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Come on out here. And he did. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was doing what Jesus did. Is that amazing or is that amazing? At least for several steps, he did it. Until, and we got no stones to throw, is that right? Until he got distracted by the wind, by the waves. And look, it's the same thing as what we're talking about. What was the wind telling him? You can't do this. Is that right? What were the waves and the waves splashing or the water hitting him in the wet, reminding him, you can't do this? Yeah, but he is doing it. Yeah, but you can't. You can't do this. You can't do this, and you can't do this. You can't do this. And then he believed that. He got in fear, and he started sinking. But as long as he believed he could do what the Master was doing, he did what the Master did. And isn't that what the Lord said in John? Well, in fact, turn there. John 14. Is this okay?
Yes.
Could you get faith out of this?
Yes.
Well, I didn't write this. These are his words. John 14, in verse 11. Well, let me back up to verse 10. He said, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. And that answers the question, how can I do what God does? I can't in and of myself, but he's in me. His Spirit is in me. And so really, it wasn't just me that did it. It was the Father in me that did it. Just like with the man. And that's what he goes on to say. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do,
Yes.
He will
No.
About, and don't dare try it at home. No, the works that I do shall he do also, and what?
Greater.
Oh, come on now, come on. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. In other words, if Jesus had stayed here, the works would just kept getting greater and greater. But he didn't come here just to do those works on the earth. He came here to demonstrate, show us how to do it, and then go to the cross and pay for our salvation. And so what does he want us to do? He wants us to walk even as he walked. Huh? Not just preachers. Every believer. He wants us to think like he thought or thinks, and talk like he talks, believe like he believes, pray like he prays, rebuke the devil like he rebuked the devil. Is that right? Lay hands on people like he laid hands on people. Speak to things, wind, wave, trees, like he did. Now, the moment you say that, people go, oh. You are not Jesus. I already knew that. But the great glory of salvation is Christ in me. Woo! The hope of glory. Oh, hallelujah. And the one in me is greater than the one that's out here against me. And so it is possible that by the same spirit that the master operated by, and like he said, the Father in me, he did the works. Well, then by the Father in me, by the Spirit in me, works can happen to his glory. Hallelujah. And it's not just me doing it. It's him doing it through me. A vessel of his, a son of his. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me. Would anybody raise a hand and say, that's me. I believe on you, Lord. He said, he that believes on me. Well, then he's talking about you. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have not begun to operate in the full potential of this, but we can start more today. What do you think? We can begin to exercise more. It begins by believing that you actually can. You can pray, believe, speak, do some things like the Master did. Not only can you, you're called to do it. Hallelujah. The Lord has called to you and me and said, come. You are my children. You are my sons and daughters. Imitate me. Imitate me. Well, how far does this go? It goes past this life. How far are we going to be imitating him? To what level? Where does this go? Where does this end? It's going to be exciting to find out. But we could start right here today. Is that right? Speaking against some lack.
Yes.
Calling some resources in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I mean, with Jesus' life, as soon as he was born, not long after he's on the earth as a little child, gold comes to him.
Yeah.
Is that right? Frankincense, gold and myrrh, super rich people from the wise men from the east brought a camel train. Yeah. And it was enough to set them. They could move and move back and relocate their businesses and all that. People talk about, you know, well, Jesus was poor. He had everything he needed. Now, he wasn't here to set up a bunch of real estate. Huh? And you don't need a bunch of stuff just to distract you and take your time. But everything he needed, they had enough in the ministry to have a treasurer and somebody that's actually stealing, and you didn't know it because you had so much. He enjoyed some very expensive things, like his clothes and like the expensive perfume boxes that the people broke on him. No, Jesus was not homeless. No, Jesus was not starving. He was not broke. No, just not true. People say, well, you should be exactly like Jesus. Well, he never married. He never had any kids. He never built a church. Come on with me?
Yes.
No, how far do you carry this? He told us to do some other things. He was here on a short trek to the cross.
That's right.
And he did what nobody else could do. Hallelujah. He redeemed us. He bought us. But then he tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. With what? With what? Empty pockets? No. He says, help people. Minister to the weak and to the poor. With what? With what? God has resources. Hallelujah. God is not poor. He's not broke. And he said, imitate me. Now we saw in 1 Peter, we talked about this. We didn't finish the thought, but you see this idea multiple places and times. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. Is that possible?
Yes.
Well, would God tell you to do something that you cannot possibly do?
No.
He would not. So what? No matter what it looks like or feels like, if he says, okay, this is the way I am, you be like me, what should you say?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Of course, it's going to take his help. He already knew that, right? He already knew that. And if you, the thing is, if you make a mistake and you come short of it on a particular thing, it is not the end. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Is that right? You can confess your mistake and your shortcoming. You can receive your forgiveness. And now what? You start with a clean slate. Is that right? You're clean. It's not held against you. And here we go. Let's step up to bat again. That's right. Let's get it right this time. Right? Now in Luke 6 and 36, he says it like this. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Say it out loud. He is holy.
He is holy.
I can be holy.
I can be holy.
He is merciful.
He is merciful.
I can be like him.
I can be like him.
Merciful.
Merciful.
And in Matthew 5 and 48, Matthew 5, 48, he says this. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now when you say that, people fall off their chair and go, you got to be joking, right? Ain't right. One of their favorite sayings is, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. I didn't say this. Did you write this?
No.
I didn't write it. So when the Lord said, for one thing, the word perfect means complete. Fully completed, fully fulfilled. And you might say, well, yeah, but I'm not. Yeah, but can you get there?
Yes.
See, that's the thing. Believe God, not how you feel. Hallelujah. Quit looking at your past and look at your example. Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible's talking about, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching, hallelujah, for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that? Being just like Him. Hallelujah. Have we arrived today? We know you haven't arrived today. What are we going to do? We're not stopping here. Is that right? Keep going. Somebody say, as He is.
So am I
in this world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our time's up again today. Are you stirred up?
Oh, yeah.
I'm stirred up. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.